The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, I'm so excited to have everyone back and really excited for our guest today. She is the co-founder of Bar Down Investments, Miss Ashley Wilson. Ashley, how are you today? And thank you for joining us.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really our honor and I appreciate you making some time out of your day to come on and talk to us and our audience. For those that maybe haven't heard about you or heard about your career, if you wouldn't mind giving us a little bit of backstory about your career in real estate, where you're from, and what kind of real estate you find yourself in today.
I think like most people, I stumbled into real estate not knowing that it would eventually become my full-time gig. So that process started a little over 10 years ago, 12, 13 years ago. We started looking for ways in which we could diversify our retirement strategy. We weren't huge believers in the stock market. So this is my husband and myself, and we were just looking on where we can invest our capital to provide a strong, safe return for us that we believed in, and real estate kept coming up as the best vehicle in which to do so. So we started by investing in different ways in real estate, and very shortly, it became our full-time gig. So that's what we do today and have done a little bit of everything, to be honest. But most recently, we have put a lot of focus in commercial and large multifamily.
That's awesome. And I love it. And I think before we hit record, you were telling me a little bit about, and I read a little bit as well. I mean, you have an incredible career. You have done a little bit of everything and bring a ton of information and experience to the table in the real estate game. So that's so cool to see. Ashley, I would imagine like most of our guests, as successful as you are, it hasn't always been easy. I would imagine there's been bumps or challenges along the way. Anything come to mind that you would be able to share with our audience that they could learn from some of the things you faced in your career?
I think if you're not facing bumps and challenges along the way, you're probably not doing it right, to be honest, because you're not pushing yourself to your full capacity. And every time you face a challenge, it's just a indicator that you're learning. And that's what all of these different situations are. So I have examples from the day I started in real estate all the way until today, but I can speak on one example in which we caught a seller falsifying the rent roll and leases. And we had to rectify that situation. So that was a pretty challenging situation to come across because it was at the 11th hour, right before closing on a property.
So when you're going through that process, I would imagine, as you said, it's in the 11th hour, everything's about to close. You think everything's good, but you find out this information. What goes through your head or what were the steps that you took to try and rectify it after you found out something like this was going on?
So the setup is, which will probably set the scene a little bit for anyone who's listening. A lot of people in commercial real estate, they maybe might not have the experience in residential real estate. Fortunate for me, I have experience in almost every single asset class in real estate, and real estate knowledge is transferable. And to that effect, in all of my commercial contracts, I put a final walkthrough, which is not standard for commercial contracts. It's typical in residential, but it's not in commercial. So the reason why I do that is, you know, for cases like this and for other reasons as well, you want to make sure what you're buying is what you think you're buying. And with commercial real estate, as opposed to residential real estate, I actually feel that there is more justification for putting that in the contract because of the fact that so much time has passed since you went under contract to actual close as compared to residential real estate, 30 to 45 days on average. Commercial real estate, you're typically around 90 days. So with respect to this particular situation, we were going through our final walkthrough on the rent roll. It said that 5 units had moved in. on the previous Friday of our walk. And we were walking with the maintenance team. The maintenance team took us around the property. And then when we came to these units, the maintenance had its different list than the list we had. And the maintenance folks thought those units were vacant. So they were showing them to us as vacant units. And we then asked the management company and the ownership group, and they said, oh, well, all of those people had their furniture delays, which in a normal time, you know, you would say, okay, that is so unlikely. In COVID times, maybe you'd say, okay, that's probable. We have supply chain issues across the board here. So in order to validate that response, I requested for a copy of every single lease application, because that would show me that these are, you know, actual people and they all are facing the same challenges. And what we noticed right away is that not only were all of the signatures of the tenants the same, in the same handwriting, but so was the property manager's. So it was very evident to us that this was basically, it was fraud. And we just called them out on it. And then we're able to come to a resolution with the seller to, you know, compensate us for the lack of rental income that we were expecting, which is the biggest component of it, because that's a huge factor. So we had that written in to, we had that added, hours before close to have us compensated for that. So that's how we resolved the situation. But it further drives home the reason why you should always put in a final walk in your property. I mean, things like, for example, catastrophic damage could happen to a property that you are not aware of. And you're in a situation where you're buying a property and then you come and take over the property and then realize that, you know, a tree fell through one of the buildings or an electrical fire happened or, you know, a building got struck by lightning. You have no idea. But ultimately, these are things that you need to safeguard all of your investors against, which is another precautionary step that an ownership group should take to protect an investment.
That's a fantastic lesson. And I love that it came from your experience with the single family side and bringing that over to the multifamily side. I haven't heard that of any of our guests that that's one of the final things that you should do. But thinking about the gap from when you first walk the property, doing all your due diligence, and when you're about to go to the closing table is a significant amount of time, and a lot can happen. So that's incredible. Would you say there's anything else from all the rest of your experience with real estate and other asset classes and areas that you've been able to transfer into the multifamily side to help you with either finding the right piece of property or going through due diligence or closing or anything like that?
Everything. Honestly, I feel like it builds upon itself. It's comparable to mathematics where, you know, you start with pre-algebra and then you go to algebra and geometry and calculus and, you know, calculus two and whatever afterwards, because I didn't go past that. I think that real estate has taught me so many valuable lessons in terms of how to manage certain properties, codes. You know, my father's a general contractor. I grew up understanding construction and when you do not need to bring something to code when you're doing renovations or new builds. So I have that background. But then I also, too, after college, went into project management of global vaccine development for GlaxoSmithKline. So I know how to manage from afar very effectively. It's all about taking all of your skill sets that you've learned across life and then applying them. So there are things in real estate that I've learned that are very transferable. And then there are things outside, you know, in my corporate job and then growing up that I also apply as well. So I think customer service is underrated. I also think too that when you come from a background where you work with, you know, like you have that exposure to what contractors are going through day to day. You can see it from both sides. So you know how to speak with contractors, how to create win-win situations, how to manage properties in a team capacity. I think a lot of people, they treat property management companies as a service provider instead of a team member. I don't take that approach. I take a team member approach. And a lot of people say they do that, but in actuality, they don't. There are times when I've had my property management company have really tough conversations with me and be completely against what I think we should do. And they ended up being right. And I trusted them because when you bring someone onto your team, whether you call it hire or partner, it doesn't matter. You should be doing it because they offer an expertise and they offer value. If you do not allow them to execute that value, you're really doing a disservice to yourself. And most likely you brought on the wrong person, or you shouldn't be managing because you are too fearful of allowing people to really maximize the value they can bring. And ultimately that stifles your ability to scale. So I think, I know this is probably a broader answer and you might be looking for more specifics. There are definitely other specifics of things that I've done that we could talk about. But I think in terms of someone being able to tomorrow apply what I'm talking about, I think if you take a team approach, that's the number one game changer that can happen across any real estate asset class.
I love that aspect of it. We've heard multiple people offer up the suggestion that if you're getting into it, you're new, or you don't have an experience in a certain area, bring the partners into your organization, whether they're actually within your corporate umbrella or adjacent partners like contractors or lawyers or whatever it may be to help. Where I think you take it to another level, and it's fantastic advice, is making sure, regardless of their actually part of your organization or an adjacent partner that you're bringing in, they still are a team. And it's important to treat them as such and not a service, because then you're all working together and then everyone understands whose role is what and where they have expertise versus you do. And that's a very unique approach that I think we all can learn from, that if we are able to take that approach, it creates a better synergy and creates a better experience, and then ultimately helps us, to your point, scale faster and better as well. So I love that.
I completely agree. And I think another thing too, as an ownership group, we often, you know, we're taught in this field that you want to get to the level where you have vertical integration of every single component. So a lot of times I find ownership groups are kind of like exploiting property management companies. So it's a one-way learning process, meaning that the property management company is educating the ownership group and not the other way around. And then the ownership group gets frustrated because the property management company is not executing with their plan in mind. And then they push even further to get to vertical integration and bring property management in-house. I think you can take a completely different approach. And this is the approach I take, which is I literally go over the business plan with the property management company. And I also explain to them what a $10 per unit rent bump in a 5-cap market equates to in evaluation based on the increase of NOI. That's something that I don't think a lot of people spend the time and go through that. So then when the property management company is making the decision, they're making decisions based off of the squeaky wheel. The squeaky wheel for them is the tenant. And it's not with even the understanding of how we are looking at it. And ultimately, there are a lot of different ways that a property can be looked at. It's looked at through the lender, the insurance company, the investor, the tenant, the property management company, the ownership group, the community, the surrounding community, the township or city or council. There's so many different perspectives, and you can't fault a property management company if you don't allow them to be open to how you see the property and what the goal of the property is. I'm not trying to discount the tenant level experience at all, because that is an extremely important factor in the day-to-day decisions. But if there is no awareness of the business plan of that property, how can you expect and hold a property management company up to the level to achieve what you're setting if they don't even understand the rationale behind why you are setting those expectations. So things, for example, like a lot of people, when they go into acquisitions mode, they have a property management company come in and they look at, have them look at their underwriting and they're like, okay, well, the property management company, of course, wants more payroll. And of course, you know, they want more operational expenses. So we're just going to shave down what they're saying. Why don't instead you look for other ways so the property management can excel, so the property overall can excel, you know, have a real conversation with them and explain, well, the numbers don't work if this way, we need to get to this number. Out of all these categories, where can we shave down? And allow the property management company to take the ownership and responsibility to say, I know we can cut down here. When you give the autonomy to the property management company to say, hey, listen, I know we can do something in this, you know, this category, I guarantee they're more likely to achieve it because they own the process. They own the decision-making. They feel like they're a part of the team because they are part of the team. So I know that's not the same example as what I gave before of being unsuccessful, but that's something that I haven't personally had a problem with property management and then had to change. That's something where I looked at how everyone else was doing it. And I looked at everyone else complaining. And I said, well, then I'm not going to do it the way everyone else is doing it because everyone's complaining about the same thing. And you know what they say about doing the same, you know, repeating the same mistake and whatever. So my point is that I went into it saying, well, I know how I've successfully managed something before. So I'm going to take those principles that I learned in corporate that were successful, and then I'm going to take it to a process that is historically unsuccessful and see if it's successful. And so far it's been successful. So I'm going to continue doing it.
Well, I think that in and of itself, I know it wasn't your original example, but that's a challenge you saw faced outside of yourself. You saw in the community, in the real estate community, that's a challenge. And I think that's a unique approach to fixing that challenge. So that last couple of minutes, I think it's worth its weight in gold for anybody who's listening. Please, please, please take advantage of that because that is some of the best advice we've heard probably on the show. And I love that approach. And I love how you're able to try and solve that challenge. I wish there's so much in there I would love to unpack, but I know we're running short on time. Ashley, I really appreciate you coming on and helping us out and helping our audience and giving some unique perspectives. And I think a lot of stuff to think about and take back and think, could we do things a little differently to help? But for those that maybe want to learn more about yourself, your organization, even partner with you, where can folks find you? Where's the best place they can reach out?
Yes. So our company name is Bar Down Investments, Bardown Investments.com. So you can go there. You can also follow me personally at Bad Ash Investor on Instagram. And if you forget the name of the Bar Down company, you can also go to badashinvestor.com and you can link from there as well.
Perfect. Ashley, thank you so much for joining us. We're truly honored to have you here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks everyone else. And we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.